This is On with Mario Lopez.
What up? It's Mario Lopez. Joining me now in studio from AMC's The Walking Dead, actor Josh McDermott. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. So your character is Eugene. You had a big episode on Sunday. Is Eugene going to the dark side? What's up?
I mean, I think that's what he's done. That's what it looks like. I don't know for sure what's going on. That's what I keep getting asked, all the fans, and every interview I do, everyone's like, what's going on, man? Is he full Negan now? And I don't know that. I don't know if he is. I don't know if he isn't. I don't want to know. I told Scott Gimple, our showrunner, like, I don't want to know.
That's cool. So you get to experience it with the fans.
Like
the fans.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I was a big fan of the show before I started working on it. So, like, this is a treat for me, you know? I don't want to spoil it ahead of time and all that.
Yeah, it's got such a passionate fan base and people.
You don't even know.
Oh, man. I do know. Cast members and just people come up to me. Have you met anybody from, you know? So that's cool when it gets to connect on that level.
Yeah. And it's worldwide because it airs internationally within the same week it airs in the U.S. So yeah. I was just in Asia and the fans there are even more passionate than the ones in the U.S. Like, it's
really
crazy.
That's a trip.
And it's awesome because, like, literally the last show I was on, like, nobody watched. I had to explain what network it was on. Like, they hadn't even heard of the network, and then to go that to the biggest show in the world is insane.
Wow. Yeah, that's a contrast. Hollywood
this is right trippy there. Dude, sitting across from you, because 20 years ago I used to work in radio, I interviewed you.
Really?
Yeah.
That's ironic.
It was in Las Vegas. It was at, like, one of those, like, radio music awards things. And I don't know what you were promoting, but you were coming through where it's like a conveyor belt where you just go from station to station.
Yeah, and everybody's kind of in the same room. And
so we were talking, like, Drew Carey and different people that were, like, you know, huge 20 years ago or whatever. And look at you still kicking around.
Wow. Well, you too, buddy.
I know.
I can't get rid of me. Wow.
This is
what
so weird to interview you then, and now the tables have turned.
Nice, man. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, hey, we're still hanging in there.
I know. We're trying, man.
Beat's getting a real job, as my dad would say.
I know, absolutely.
Get a real job.
Exactly.
But get back to the show, man. It seems like every season there's a moment where Eugene could be killed off. So I know you say you don't ask, but do you ever feel like, oh my gosh, this is the week? This is where it's coming.
It's I mean, I'm definitely concerned of when I'm gonna lose my job. You know, I have bills to pay and things like that.
Right.
I want to know that, but they don't even tell us that sort of stuff. They're very vague with what information they do give us, and so we're constantly talking to other people. Like, I talk to Norman Reedus, like, hey, what does Scott Gimple tell you, or what do you know about this? Talk to Andrew Lincoln, and he never knows anything more than I know, and it's a little frustrating, but I end up becoming obsessed over it. And then I realize, like, if I'm so obsessed over this, I'm going to, like, not really be able to pay attention to this awesome thing in front of me.
Right.
Like, it's such an amazing show to shoot. Like, I want to be able to enjoy it for what it is instead of just so focused on my death.
And the irony is, shows like Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, and I'm sure actors don't appreciate it, but as a viewer, it's great because the beloved characters get killed off. It's like a thing now.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you think not too long ago, your favorite characters would never die.
Exactly.
Even our show, like, people, I don't know that anyone is safe. You say, you might make a comment like, oh, well, Rick is safe, or they'll never kill Carl. But
you can't say that these days.
You can't say that these days. I feel like the show would still survive even without those big characters. So you never know, man. That's what makes it exciting. That's why I watch Game of Thrones. I want to see who's going next week.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah. No, but both quality, high quality shows right there. When you auditioned, since you were already a fan, was the approach, were you even a little more nervous? Because everyone's sort of, you're nervous when they're auditioning, or more excited, or how did you approach it?
I mean, I definitely wanted this job more than any job I wanted. I have a long background in comedy. So, like, this is my first drama that I've ever done. So this was like, okay, I don't want to screw this up, you know?
Yeah.
And especially since it was my favorite show, I didn't want to be the guy who's going to end up screwing that up either. So just coming into it, I tried to just keep it as real and truthful as possible. But there were definitely some nerves running through my body. And I only read once, and the casting director said, okay, thanks, it was nice to meet you. And I went, okay, well, there you go. I didn't get the job. Give me a little bit of direction. Let me try this again, you know? And then as I was walking away, they're like, wait, don't leave. Like, where are you from? And, like, they wanted to get to know me, which is always a great sign.
Yes,
like, when
exactly.
They don't want to let you leave. And that's when I kind of realized, like, oh, okay, this might have some traction, you know?
Yeah.
I was super excited to do that because, like I said, it was my favorite show, man. It's a dream.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, auditions are always, even when you think they go, they're always the worst. Just the process itself, just as an actor, it's just a trip, right?
I want to write a book about every bad audition I've ever had, because I broke a casting director's window once.
On purpose, or accident?
It was an accident, but like they say, don't bring props in. But well, I'm going to bring this little tennis ball in, and you know, use it for the scene. And I tossed it to the guy that I was reading the scene with, and I didn't know it, but he was cross-eyed. And so the ball, I thought he was like, it was a comedy. So I thought he was like selling the crap out of these jokes, like by crossing his eyes, but like he was literally cross-eyed. So I throw the ball at him and it hits him in the face. And I was like, oh my gosh. And he grabs the ball and he tosses it back to me. And I just wanted to swat the ball like down, but I hit it and it flew to the window, shattered the window, landed on the producer's car below. And I'm like, well, I don't think I'm getting this job. Like it's, I was so mortified, man.
Oh my God. It's funny that you say that, because I was just interviewing Octavia Spencer, right? And she said, we were talking about audition. She said the worst audition ever is when I brought a prop in, and she brought a phone in, and then it started going off. She couldn't get it off. She couldn't turn it off trying to be. So yeah, lessons to thespians out there. Leave the props at home.
Leave the props at home. But you know what? She still, I mean, I guarantee, I don't know what she would be auditioning for these days, but if she still does audition, it's still a struggle, man.
Yeah.
Auditions are not fun.
Yeah, no, they're not. There's only probably like, literally like 8 people who probably don't have to audition. I mean, really, right? Because then you get to a certain level and certain actors are competing for certain things.
Right.
Justin Timberlake, as a matter of fact, told me the other day when he was auditioning for something, I go, wait a minute, really? You had to read for something? Which is a trip.
Yeah.
He's Justin Timberlake.
And he's great. But
he's
like,
probably going up against, who knows, Ryan Gosling or something. You know what I mean?
You never know.
The
directors, the producers, they want to see exactly what you're going to bring to. They know you're capable, but let's just see what your take is on it.
Exactly. Keep them humble that way too, right?
Yeah, right.
Keep them humble. So what do you see Eugene doing, or what have you come to learn about your character coming up?
Well, I mean, he's certainly made these decisions to cross over to the dark side. So I think that he's going to continue to be confronted with those choices. Like, is he certainly turning his back on Rick's group? Is that going to be a good thing for him, a bad thing? I mean, we're starting to see some of these communities come together. They want to fight Negan and they want to start this war. Which side of the war is Negan or is Eugene going to be on?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a struggle for him. I think the thing that he wants more than anything is to just not be scared. He doesn't want to feel that fear that he feels every time he's in Negan's presence. So I think if he's able to align himself with the apex predator, he's definitely going to feel better, not going to feel that fear, and hopefully he stays alive for a long time.
I say turn against Rick.
That would
be
awesome.
I'm a couple seasons behind, but like I'm done with Rick. Like he's made too many bad decisions.
You're over him?
Until your character and some others showed up, I was like, Rick should just die already. Like,
if you think about it, man, this show would be a completely different show if we had followed Shane instead of Rick.
Oh, yeah.
Or if we were even following Negan instead of Rick.
Completely.
I mean, we would be Team Negan all the way. But it's like, yeah, Rick has definitely made some questionable decisions, but he's a flawed human.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. No, Jeffrey Dean Morgan's been great as the villain, man.
He's crazy.
And awesome. Wait a minute. You're busy. You're also popping up in the new version of Twin Peaks.
Yeah, I can't talk about that, man. You're not going to get spoilers out of me.
Another secretive show that you can't really
talk
about?
They're even more secretive than The Walking Dead. I did. I shouldn't say that, but I did.
Wait, why can't you say that?
Because I get an email like once a week, like, hey, just a reminder, shut up.
Really?
That's what they, I mean, they do not want us talking about anything, but it was also, I did get to meet David, and I mean, he's very eclectic, very eccentric.
Is he just
his
in person?
Daughter, Jennifer Lynch, directs a bunch of our episodes. So I've gotten to work with her, and I didn't know what was going on, and they bring me over to David to meet him, and he's getting a haircut on set while he's like, you know, shouting through one of those megaphones.
It's player,
like,
right?
Put
there.
Put the light higher.
It's a multitasker.
Yeah. And I was like, this is my David Lynch story. This is pretty awesome. And I said, hey, I've worked with your daughter, Jen, a bunch. And he just looked me up and down and went, okay. He didn't care.
That's
like, all right, man, great.
He's a rogue. I love it. Well, good for you, man. Doing a lot of great work with a lot of cool people right here.
Thank you.
Your Wikipedia page says you are a qualified hot air balloon pilot.
Yeah.
That's a real story, huh?
That's a real thing. I grew up in Phoenix, where a lot of hot air balloons there in the Southwest.
Yeah.
And Southern California, Phoenix, New Mexico.
I had a scheduled my first hot air balloon ride, my wife and I, and then it rained, so we didn't get to go.
Oh, obviously. That sucks.
Much to her. Yeah, it sucked for me. She was all happy about it because I was trying to convince her. The crazy thing is, though, you got to be there like at 5:30 because we were doing the The sunrise move?
Yeah.
That's a mean one. You can't party too hard.
You got to get up early. That was, I mean, as a kid, because we did it, our family had a hot air balloon. Like, we didn't have a business or anything. It's just like some people might have a boat or mountain
bikes.
You
had a hot air balloon.
Or a car.
Wait, was your dad?
Or a car. My dad had a hot air balloon.
Wait, and was he just a big fan of
you? He got a ride once and was like, he got off the balloon. And he was like, I'm buying a hot air balloon. That was amazing.
That's awesome.
How does one fly one, and what's the maintenance?
It's, well, heat rises, and so you trap the heat within the envelope of the balloon, the actual balloon, and
but
so
how
that
do you
makes you
navigate?
You let the wind control you, man.
Really?
So you're just kind of at the mercy of nature,
basically. And it's not as dangerous as it sounds.
because if you go out a little bit, and when you want to return, how does that process?
You return to a different place.
Yeah, you
really.
But you have a chase vehicle. So I did most of the time, because I am a pilot, but what I would do most of the time is chase my dad in the balloon in a pickup truck. And we just
that's
go romping
funny.
Through the desert looking for
him. Oh, that's kind of cool.
We have radios and we communicate. And he has a bird's eye view. So he's like, look, there's homes here. I'm going to fly over them. And then there's a field on the other side. That's where I'm going to put it down.
Yeah.
And so he would tell me because he could see me and he would tell me what road to drive down and stuff like that. But yeah, basically you send up a little helium balloon and you watch where it heads, where the wind takes it. And you go, well, that's where we're going. Sometimes the wind's too much. You don't want to go when the wind is too heavy. So
you got to gauge all that.
You got to gauge all of that. And then you just basically change your altitude, because at different altitudes, the wind is blowing in different directions.
Right.
So generally, most of it might be heading west. But, you know, there might be some wind that's taking you north. You just got to find the altitude where that's going to happen.
That's fascinating. How many people can fit in a basket?
Depends on the basket. The basket we had, we could probably fit about 6 people.
That's a lot. It's a lot of people.
But there's some baskets that hold like 20 people.
What?
Yeah.
20 people baskets?
Yeah, because those are like the companies.
Dang.
They want to take you up and
but can you know. Like, can you imagine being a teenager and your dad's like, well, it's Saturday, I'm going to go up, come follow me. Like,
and then your whole Saturday is yeah, it's gone. Like I'm up at 4 a.m.
Right, the early move.
Like chasing your dad.
Yeah. That's a fun fact.
Yeah, it was
That's
really
cool.
People are like, man, did you ever like take girls up there? I'm like, no, man, girls don't find that cool. Like, you're a weirdo. You have a balloon.
Hey. You know,
I'm not flying a plane. That's sexy.
That's hilarious.
Nothing sexy about balloons.
Get a little wine up there. I don't know. You know, that's cool, man.
Smell like propane.
Right,
baby. Come here. Let me kiss you.
That's awesome.
Before I let you go, I'm going to put you on the spot. Quick questions, quick answers. All right.
All right.
Go to karaoke song.
The Whitesnake song. Here I go again.
Classic.
You can sell the crap out of it.
Hell yeah. You can get the crowd involved right there. That's a crowd pleaser right there. Number one show on your DVR, aside from Walking Dead?
The Americans. Getting caught up on that, man. I love it.
I've only seen season one.
I haven't
because it was only available on the DVDs from Netflix. And
right.
I never watched those. But it was awesome.
No, I'm hearing great. It's just so much. There's so much TV.
Yeah.
Favorite zombie movie?
Dawn of the Dead.
Mine too. Great movie. When you see it when you're a kid, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, I'm not, I came to that later in my life too, because I actually don't like horror movies. I get scared. So I've been catching up on everything since I was a kid.
First car.
It was the pickup truck we used to chase the hot air balloon. It was a Chevy, 77 Chevy pickup.
There you go.
Yeah.
Celebrity crush growing up.
Soleil Moon Frye.
Punky Brewster?
Punky Brewster, man.
Wow, really, huh?
Was it the freckles
I got you, or the mismatched clothes?
She was her own person.
Mismatched clothes. Yeah, that's what did it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe thought it was hot, dude. The gear, she was those pigtails. No, he could be a little freaky. All right. Time travel destination.
Paris in the 20s.
We get that a lot. There you go.
Well, what was that movie, that Woody Allen movie that he
did? Yeah, Midnight in Paris.
Midnight in Paris. Yeah.
I mean, my wife made it appealing.
My wife is French. She's American, but she's French ancestry, and a lot of her family still lives over there. We spent so much time there, and I just walk around going, this would be amazing to be in Paris in the 20s.
If you could kill one character on The Walking Dead, who would it be?
Baby Judith.
Okay, that makes sense. Too. Yeah,
he's thought about that.
No, she's a liability.
She is a liability. It's not, I don't want to kill a baby, but like if I could write her out, I would do.
Right.
What's your go-to weapon in a zombie apocalypse?
I like a hammer, like a big, heavy hammer. Man, it's got a claw. It's blunt. You can just grip it.
Reusable?
It's very reusable.
You got to get in there, but you
got to get close.
It's not a long distance deal.
If you have a sword, like you got to learn how to use the sword.
Cut yourself.
Cut yourself a bunch. You know, no, a hammer, it's like everyone can use that.
Yeah, and you get a good workout. I'm sure it's going to be pretty heavy.
Look at this. He cares about a workout in the apocalypse.
The zombie apocalypse. When am I going to fit in some time to work out?
You get stay in shape. You got zombies attacking you. You're going to want to be in shape.
You're in shape because you're starving.
Your ass is going to be winded and a zombie's going to get you. My stamina will carry me through. Cardio is very important.
Would you do jiu-jitsu on a zombie? Like, would you wrap him up?
No,
you can't grapple.
No, you could.
No, because if they scratch you and stuff.
Well, no. Well, that's why you got to be slick about it. But that wouldn't be my first go-to line of defense. I'd have to jab on the outside. I'd have to start with boxing and then maybe resort to that. I love this conversation. Anyway, The Walking Dead airs Sundays on AMC, of course, and you can follow him on Twitter at Josh McDermott. Thanks for stopping by, man.
Thanks for having me, man. On
with Mario Lopez.